This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us. Does Paul's epistle to the Romans endorse or refute Roman Catholic teachings? That is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host Greg Durrell, here's T.A. McMahon.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for God's specific communication to mankind, for what God says about Himself, what He says about us, what He expects of us, and most importantly, what He has done for us, that we might spend eternity with Him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Greg Durrell, and Greg is pastor of Heritage Bible Church of Gretna, Louisiana, a co-founder of Reaching Catholics for Christ, and host of the daily radio program, As It Is Written. Greg, thanks for coming back.
Tom, always a pleasure to do anything with you.
Okay. Well, for our listeners' information, we're going through Paul's epistle to the Romans. We're in chapter 1, and last week we left off with, well, we finished verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17, so we'll pick up with 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, that's kind of a tough verse to start with, but give us a little background for that, Greg.
Well, it's a great verse because he starts off by saying, for the wrath of God. Now, obviously, wrath is the opposite. It's the antithesis of righteousness. And it's an expression of God's person. And God has wrath and has promised that He will extend His wrath to this world. Now, He says, so the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, firstly, ungodliness. And ungodliness is sort of a state of being. You can be ungodly and perhaps not demonstrate that overtly. All sorts of people that are ungodly, when they're caught finally, their neighbors didn't know that they were as ungodly, didn't know they were the serial killer or whatever they may have been, the drug dealer or whatever. And then he says unrighteousness, and unrighteousness is more a reference to our conduct. So he says not only is it going to be revealed from heaven against our state of being, but also against our conduct. And he says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now that's sort of an interesting thing because how could someone who really understands and really reads and knows the truth of God's Word hold that in unrighteousness? But when we understand the fall of man, we understand that man in and of himself has nothing redeemable in him, then it starts, I think, to make a little sense. Mm-hmm. And I think Paul begins here showing us the basis for the condemnation of mankind, that all are subject to it, and it's going to come upon all those who do not come to the righteousness of God.
Right. And this is set up really by verse 17, which we went over last week. But just to remind us, I'll read it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we have the just living by faith. They're made just because of their belief in Christ. But what about the other side? The other side is the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Without faith, we fall into that category. We are before God not only ungodly, but unrighteous, and our penalty is the eternal separation from Him.
Well, you know, and if ever, in probably the history of man, if there was ever a time when we could say that the world is just permeated with ungodliness, which would be, perhaps another way to put it, would be a lack of proper reverence for the Lord, and then unrighteousness, literally, which would be wickedness toward God and man. I think we could surely say we're at a time when there is an immense lack of reverence for the Lord, and certainly there's an overwhelming abundance of wickedness towards God and man. Mm-hmm. But there's a solution to that, and Paul is going to give us that solution after he makes sure he makes the case that no one can claim that they can skirt by this, or they didn't know, or it doesn't apply to me. He makes it so plain that even a child can understand it.
Well, let's pick up with that. Again, we have God referring to His wrath being poured out against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And Greg, you mentioned people like, you know, we all know obvious evil from serial killers on down.
Sure.
Just check the newspapers, see what's going on. And it's the time of the Iraqi war. And, you know, I just read today some articles about the Saddam Hussein regime, and they're torturing people. It's just almost so difficult to read and understand that man could be that evil. However, there's the little old lady from Pasadena. There are those who never really hurt anybody, never really did anything overtly wrong that we could see, never got a parking ticket or you name it, but they would still come under these categories of ungodliness and unrighteousness, right, Greg?
Absolutely. And again, he says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So we're not talking necessarily to the extreme where someone has to be an Osama bin Laden in this category, but again, lack of proper reverence towards the Lord. If you reject the truth, and obviously John 17:17, his word is truth, mm-hmm. if you're turning to your own means, whether it's through your own religion, through some religious effort, to try and establish your own righteousness, then in essence, you're holding the truth in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is just going to nail it down for us.
Well, here we go. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Profound.
Absolutely.
Verse 19 is an interesting thing, because he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest. And where does he say it's manifest? He says it's manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You know, they've never discovered a tribe of atheists anywhere. In the most remote part of any continent, the most primitive culture or society, they've never discovered a group of people who did not recognize that there was a supreme being. They've
right.
never discovered a group of atheists like that. Why is that? Because God places it in man that he exists. He shows it unto them. And he says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Well, someone says, well, how could that be clearly seen? He says, being understood by the things that are made. Even these primitive cultures recognized that. They had no Bibles. They had no theology books. They had no radio program to listen to. They had no church to attend. But how did they know these things? Because God revealed it to them. And that's the answer when someone says, well, what about the person on the desert island that's never heard the gospel? And my response to that is, what island? What person? God reveals it in everyone,
mm-hmm.
everyone. And he says, so that they are without excuse. Otherwise, then God wouldn't be just. And someone might die without the righteousness of Christ. And he could say, well, gee, I didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I didn't hear. And God would say, I clearly manifested myself in you. I demonstrated to you. You knew that I existed, but you rejected me. And Paul goes on, we'll see, where we just corrupt the being of the Creator so much where the creature begins literally to worship the creature more than the Creator.
Mm-hmm. Greg, we, on the one hand, as you said, we have the primitive people, and that's where many people like to point and say, well, what about that group, and so on. And as you said, they all have some ritual, some religious system, and so on. There is a seeking after God. But let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Let's go into a laboratory where we have scientists, biologists, chemists, and so on and so forth. there's a group who would probably call themselves atheists. Many would be evolutionists and so on. What's been demonstrated for them? Those who have the ability to look into a cell, I call it a simple cell, but there's no such thing. It's so it's more complex than New York City, according to Linus Pauling, Nobel Prize winner. But the issue is, as you look into the cell, into the nucleus of a cell, you find DNA. You find information. One cell, as it develops, replicates, it goes from one cell, it develops into a body by the reproduction of 75 trillion cells. That's the number for the cells within the human body. How does it do that? It does it on the basis of information within the DNA, within the nucleus of a cell. All the information is there. Where did that information come from? It's intelligent. It's digital encoded information that instructs the body how to develop. Where did that come from, Greg?
Random chance.
Right.
Isn't that what they say?
I think
they're found in verse 22, those folks. Professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools, because a person with a third grade education doesn't believe in evolution. You have to be, I've said for years, you have to be educated to be that stupid. No person would pull up in front of an automobile dealership and say, gee, look at the coincidence of a bunch of parts coming together by themselves and forming that car. I mean, you can see design. There has to be a master designer.
Plus, Greg, I have to throw this in. If you took the nucleus of a cell and you tried to put as many as you could on the head of a pin, you'd be able to put 1,000 of these things. So, in other words, all this information that we've been talking about that God has laid out for the development of the human body is done in such a microscopic format that we couldn't even come close to producing anything like this,
so
let alone the complexity.
Superior to any computer or any technological system we have.
We can't even touch it, and we'll never be able to touch it. And this is not according to, you know, my sort of unscientific mind, but according to the experts. It's just beyond our capacity. Absolutely.
So how then could such order come from chaos?
Just,
it couldn't.
No.
Simply couldn't. So there must be what? There must be God. Yeah. And that's his point. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and it's so methodical you can set your watch by it. How could that be? There has to be a designer, and that's his point. He says everybody knows that within them. Mm-hmm. What they choose to hold that truth in unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. And he says because of that, the wrath of God will be revealed in them.
Yeah. So it isn't just a matter of then saying, you know, this business of an agnostic doesn't know one way or the other. You're making a choice here, as it says in verse 25, who changed the truth of God. Once you begin to reject what is obvious, and God says you're without excuse, once you begin to change that, you've turned from truth to a lie.
Right.
And everything that develops out of that is going to lead to destruction. I think of in Proverbs 14:12, and then I think it's repeated again in chapter 16. I'm not quite sure what verse, but here it is. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Couldn't be clearer. Could not have been clearer. And there's no such thing, can't be any such thing as an agnostic, because there's too much information for people to look at. No one can say there's not enough knowledge for them to know whether there's a God or not. It's just silly. We simply open up our windows and look up at the stars at night, and that demonstrates that he's there.
Greg, when you were growing up Roman Catholic, did you attend parochial schools? I did.
Yeah.
I was taught evolution.
Sure. They still teach theistic evolution. There are 23 parochial high schools in the metro New Orleans area. They all teach theistic evolution.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But they say, well, it's theistic. Okay. Well, see, they still believe in God. Isn't that all right?
Well, God's the origin, the originator of the Big Bang, and then everybody evolves. So that makes Adam and Eve just a myth. But how do you harmonize that with anything? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Plus, it does a big thing.
Yeah.
You think you're doing something for God by saying, oh, yeah, well, that was the process that he used. You begin to look at the process. First of all, a real evolutionist doesn't buy it one jot or tittle, okay? You can't have it both ways. And if you claim to believe in the Word of God and you try to mix in evolutionary ideas, it undermines the Word of God from the get-go.
Amen.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Greg address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
This listener writes, do you think the new interest among Roman Catholics in holding Bible studies is a good thing or a bad thing? Well, you know, the Word of God says it will not return void. So anytime people gather around the Scriptures, I don't care if it's just reading them, it can be a good thing and a very good thing. On the other hand, it's sort of like the Christian Science Church. We have the reading of the Scriptures, and then we have the official interpretation of those Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder of Christian Science. That can happen in a Catholic Bible study. Sometimes there are priests involved, and sometimes there are lay leaders, and their unofficial job is to make sure that the interpretations or the understanding of the Scriptures don't deviate from Catholic dogma, official teaching of the Church. What do you say, Greg?
Well, I agree. I think primarily it's good in this sense that it does awaken them to the Scripture. Mm-hmm. And then when they hear things, perhaps even something we've said, if they will simply go to the Scripture alone, as you've pointed out many times, and be the Berean, search the Scripture to see if these things be so, I think, yes, it can be immensely positive. But on the other hand, as you point out, many of these things are just done sort of to counter evangelical Christianity and Bible-believing Christians, to just to say, well, yes, we read the Bible, study the Bible, but it's always spin city. They always have to spin it off in some way, quote some church father or something, and say the Scripture doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
But I think overall it can be good.
Mm-hmm. But just as we mentioned last week, Greg, talking about the doctrine of baptism, as they come to verses that seem to imply that, as we mentioned last week, John 3:5, where it talks about being born of water, well, as we said, that has nothing to do with baptism, but if you're going to have the official Catholic line on that, that's how it's going to be understood. The other question I have about Catholic Bible studies, I like to say, since when? Growing up Roman Catholic, we had a Bible. It sat on our coffee table. I thought it weighed about 40 pounds, but it was less than that. It was only there on the coffee table. It collected dust. You could open it, and you might find some photos from the baptisms and First Holy Communions and so on, but we never read it. And we weren't encouraged to read it. But we can even go back further than that. The Catholic Church persecuted people like Wycliffe and Tyndale and so on for trying to have the Bible translated in the vernacular, that is, in the language of people, so that they could read it. And then we have many popes down through the line condemning the use of the Bible or Bible studies per se or the reading of the Bible among the lay people. So when did all this change?
Well, it's never really changed, and it's a cosmetic thing. You know, they say it's recent, or the question poses the idea that it's recent, but it's not really recent. It was popular in the 70s, and then it faded, then it came back a little bit in the 80s, and so there's always a reoccurrence of this. But it's never really serious Bible study. It's kind of like Jehovah's Witness Bible study. Jehovah's Witness Bible study is not real Bible study. They use the Bible, but then they have all of their books by which the Watchtower puts out for them to interpret the Bible. In other words, they have their reasoning from the Scriptures, and this book tells them what the Scripture really means. Don't believe what it just says, but we're going to tell you what it means. And so we have the same thing in Roman Catholicism today. I don't know if anyone attends a Catholic, quote-unquote, Bible study where there's simply the study of the Scripture itself without helps, quote-unquote. So, yeah, I think it's positive in one sense, but can be negative in others.
Mm-hmm. And our encouragement out there, somebody says, well, no, my mind's not closed to what God's Word has to say. Our challenge and exhortation, encouragement, whatever you want to call it, to our listeners who are Roman Catholics, be like the Bereans, Acts 17:11. Here we have, these were Jews in the city, the Greek city of Berea. We have Paul coming to them from another city, Thessalonica, and he goes into the synagogue and he begins to preach or teach. And what is he preaching or teaching about? He's teaching about the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And he's claiming that that is Jesus. Well, these Bereans are commended for what? Well, first of all, because they listened to what the Apostle Paul had to say. They weren't close-minded. They wanted to hear what he was proclaiming. But the real commendation comes from this. They not only listened to what he had to say, they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You know, as Isaiah wrote, their prophet, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. That's our challenge to everyone out there. Don't just believe what we're saying. The name of the program is According to God's Word. That's got to be your authority. Don't take it from Greg. Don't take it from me. But hopefully we can point you in the direction of God's Word, and you can check it out for yourself.
Well, that's what we tell them, and we've been telling them that now for 15 years every day on the radio. And our challenge, open the Gospel of John and read it through and just ask yourself, what does it tell me to do? What does it require of me? What does God require of me to be the recipient of everlasting life? And then just do what Jesus tells you to do. And if he tells you to be baptized and participate in sacraments, then do those things. But if he doesn't tell you that, if he tells you just believe or trust in him and he will give you everlasting life, then why not believe him? Why make it complex? Why try to work your way to heaven? Why not just take him at face value, trust in him, and rejoice in the gift of everlasting life that you've received?
Mm-hmm. Greg, we've got about 2.5 minutes. Now, let me go over this next question. I'm curious to know on what basis a Catholic decides what teachings he will obey and reject. What have you found out along these lines? That is a curious question.
Well, I call them cafeteria Catholics. Mm-hmm. They kind of, it's like a buffet. They just kind of go through and they pick and choose what they're going to believe. The Church in Rome says they have to believe it all.
Correct.
And if they don't believe it all, then anathema they are.
What's anathema mean?
Well, it means you're barred from the sacraments. That is, you're going to hell. There's no
yeah.
eternal life for you.
Paul uses the term, same Greek term for anathema. He calls it accursed.
That's right.
You're cut off.
That's it. So there's no picking and choosing. The Catholic who uses all sorts of things to prevent contraception, according to the Church at Rome, is a heretic, is a sinner. If they don't get absolution for that, they'll split hell wide open when they die. There's all sorts of things that the
right.
Church teaches and proclaims, but you and I both know our communities are riddled with people claiming to be Roman Catholic that simply only practice and believe the aspects of that religion that they want to. That they like.
Yeah.
But yet if you ask them what religion they are, they say, well, I'm Roman Catholic. If you ask them, where are you going when you die? The response is, well, I think, I hope, maybe heaven or maybe purgatory or whatever. They can never know for certainty that they can be saved. And
yeah.
The Bible was written for that purpose, so that we could know and know for a certainty that we were going to heaven.
See, and the thing that I find, well, this writer says curious, I find puzzling. If somebody's making a selection and they are rejecting some of the teachings of the Catholic Church, but they are opting for other teachings, if they think the Church is bogus in some areas, why would they think it's right on the money in another area? What's the criteria here? It's bizarre, Greg.
Good point. And who's the ultimate authority? They are.
Right.
So they've just become God.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 2103. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.